sheet, they put it on the board. Do stand in need of your prayers as I stand before you this afternoon for a little while. I will confess that I feel pretty weary in my thoughts and in my mind and physically. Probably haven't slept as well as I probably should and need to the last several nights. But the Lord's been good, and I feel like I know that if we look to Him, that even at this time, He'll supply just what we need, even if it's just for a little while. Often think about how we get in trains of thought about what has to be in our services. We usually sing for about a half an hour, and then we usually have preaching. It goes for about an hour, sometimes now with announcements and with mentioning of folks in prayer. We are taking a little more time with that than maybe we have in the past, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think just there's more that we have to present to God's little children for them to pray for. Many have asked for prayer, and we want to remember them in our prayers, and always thankful to be able to have people desiring the prayers of the Lord's people, and it's good for us to have those folks in mind when we pray. And yet it's also a great blessing, as we've said so many times in the past, to know that God isn't dependent upon us to let Him know about who needs what or any of those things. That our God is everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. He's all-knowing. And He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. And that's a great thing to have an awareness of, a great blessing, if you recognize that our God isn't dependent upon us for anything, but we depend completely upon Him. And it's sometimes our idea that we need to preach for a certain amount of time, a certain length, or even need to stop at a certain amount of time or a certain length. And in reality, we have many examples. You can read the Sermon on the Mount in a whole lot less than an hour. You can read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and get what I would say the greatest sermon ever preached by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ there in the Sermon on the Mount. It doesn't take very long to read that. We also know that the Apostle Paul, I believe, was preached until the late hours, until midnight, and one fell out of the third the balcony, and I think it was the third, I don't know exactly, but he fell and died. But the Apostle Paul was blessed to be able to bring him back, and then he went on and preached some more. So the length of time is really more in our minds than it is in what we have in Scripture to teach us about that. But don't feel, I said all that to kind of lengthy, to tell you I don't think I'm going to be lengthy. So, so much for that. So, but just pray for me as I stand before you for a little while this afternoon. Psalm 100, if you have your Bibles. I was thinking, I believe it's Psalm 121 that is Brother John's favorite psalm. And I hear him many times go to Psalm 121, and I've enjoyed that and appreciated that so much. And then Brother Jason's got Psalm 136, and he says that's his favorite. If I have a favorite, Brother Junior's is Psalm 23. Anybody who's been around Brother Junior enough and would know that. Mine, I guess, is, if I have one, it's Psalm 100. His psalm has been so meaningful to me in my life and so many times, and I've used it quite often. And it's on my mind this afternoon. And I just thank the Lord that He seemed fit to have the love for me and the thoughts towards me, that He would give me a hunger for any of His Word and a desire to know anything about Him. I know if He'd have left me where I was dead in trespasses and in sins, I was lost. I had no desire to change or no desire to learn of the things of God. I had no appetite, no hunger, no thirst. And I don't know exactly when the Lord dealt with me. I believe it was a very young age. I remember as a boy having a total change of mind about going to church. One time, and I thought, why in the world do I have to leave the ball fields, or I have to leave all the things I want to do? I have to leave on a Sunday night. I'd have to stop watching those good Sunday night shows to have to go to a meeting. And I resented anything about that. And even though at the time I wasn't attending an old Baptist church, it wasn't a place where they talked about the Lord. And I had no real appreciation for that. And then even as a young boy, I began to see and have a hunger for those things and feel a need for those things. I felt to be a sinner and lost and undone, and knew that if someone didn't do something for me, that I would not end up in a good place. And I understood about that. And it wasn't that someone had scared me into that necessarily. I mean, there was a lot of people trying to scare me, but they hadn't made much impact on that before. But it became really real to me that I stood before God, not just, unjust, and unworthy, and unrighteous, and unclean. And so I went about all that men would tell me to do to try to resolve that and fix that, and tried to find peace with that, and battled that for a long, quite good time, a long period of time. Till I came to hear and understand really the doctrines of grace in the full extent. I'm thankful I had some grace, because the Lord feeds us even in the wilderness. I had some things that I learned that were beneficial as I gathered even among a people that didn't, I believe, have the full truth. But they had that which allowed me to know that it was important to worship God, and there was a God to worship, and there was a Savior. I just wanted to be at peace with Him. I knew that He was, but I wanted to be at peace. I wanted to know that things were all right between me and Him. And I tried to do what they told me to do to make sure that was the case. And the more I tried to do, the more unright I felt, and the more I saw I'm coming short. And it was only until I understood what He had done for me and the fullness and the completeness of that, that I felt and knew in my heart that I was reconciled to God. He had done for me that which I could not do for myself. He had done for me that which only He could do. And He didn't make it possible so I could get my way back in. You know, that's where so many of God's people are today in their minds and thoughts. And that's why I believe it's so important that you and I are doing what this passage tells us to do in sharing the wonderful truth the Lord has allowed us to see with others of God's children that He's made alive, so that they might also see what I didn't see as an 8-year-old boy or a 12-year-old boy or even later on in my life. I'm not saying that if I'd have been carried or heard an old Baptist preacher preach at that time that I necessarily would have embraced it wholeheartedly, but I do believe it would have been a great benefit to me. And I kind of feel in my heart if I'd have heard that as a young man, that would have been a whole lot better youth. Because I did the things that young men do, but I never had fun at it. You know, like my buddies seemed to could have fun to the extent that it didn't bother them, it didn't trouble them. I'm not saying I was better than them. As a matter of fact, I felt it many times worse. There were sometimes I felt, you know, the other. I felt like, and I've told y'all this before, I felt like sometimes when Mama and Daddy were trying to correct me, I'd want to just tell them, you know, if you knew how some of my friends were, you'd be glad you got a boy like me. And oh, how the Lord knocked that out of me. real quick. Allowed me to see that even of itself, isn't that just fair? That's just pride. That's all that is. And he allowed me to see that I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I need to wholly lean on Jesus' name. I hope that's where you are today. That you're not trusting in anything else. And I hope it excites you so much and you're so filled with it that you can't help but want to tell somebody. That you can't help but want to share that. That's what's in your heart because the Lord has shown it to you in such a wonderful way that you feel the necessity and the need to let them know, any of God's little children that you come across along the way, to let them know. It's about us doing what we're doing right here. And that is gathering together to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. The all ye lands is talking about his people that are in every nation and kindred and tongue and people. The whole world is not going to do this. Not all mankind is going to do this. There are some who won't praise the Lord. The dead praise not the Lord. They don't have a desire to praise the Lord. Someone says, isn't that talking about the corporal dead? Well, no. Their bodies won't praise the Lord in a state of death. But even God's little children that die and that are absent from the body are present with the Lord. And I'll tell you what's going on in heaven today. For those who have died, those who are asleep in Jesus, those of our dear loved ones that used to fill these benches and those that are near and dear to us that have gone home to be with the Lord, they're not asleep in the ground where they're not praising the Lord. As a matter of fact, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and there's praise going on in heaven today. Wouldn't it be good to be there to hear the sound of the voices of God's little children praising God and lifting up their voice in praise and adoration unto Him? The dead that are in dead in trespasses and in sins, they praise not the Lord. Some of them will never be born of the Spirit. Some of them will live their entire life despising the things of God, not loving God, not desiring to serve God, but live their entire life without any change. If there's no change that takes place in them and they die and pass away, God is not obligated. God didn't have to choose anybody. He saw fit to choose His people. Thanks be to God, it was a great multitude of them. And they're here described as all ye lands. Over in Psalm 107, I believe he'll talk about it there. In Psalm 107, he talks about the redeemed of the Lord. And he says that, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He says, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Isn't it good to know that there was one who came to where we were under the captivity and the bondage of sin and Satan and death. We had the curse of death upon us. There was no way to get ourselves out of it. We didn't want to get out of it. We couldn't get out of it. You see, if you really understand man's depravity, the only answer for man's depravity is sovereign grace. Because if grace is something you got to get into, and the dead man can't do anything to get into it, then we got a problem, don't we? Here's the good news: the God of heaven has the power, and He has the love. He has the love to save them, and He has the power to save them. And therefore, God's little children, because of His grace, were made safe. Really, when He made choice of them, even before the very foundation of the world, He foreknew them. This is the noise we're to make. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's not a sound of confusion. It's not a cry. It's not a cry of agony or a cry of pain. Though God hears the pain and the agony of His children, this is a cry that you and I ought to make in our lives. We're to make it with our hands. We're to make it with our feet. We're to make it with our life. We're to make it with our lips. We're to lift up our voices in praise to God and make a joyful noise. And that noise isn't confusion. It's to tell God's little children, as He told the one, you go tell them how great things the Lord has done for you. You got a list, don't you? I got a list. And our list isn't, we can still be writing, you know, we still be writing a list. Brother Joe sent me a list, and I appreciated that. Last night I asked him to send me the list because he said he was writing a list of all the names the Bible uses to refer to Jesus. And I said, once you get that list done, brother, I want you to send that to me. And he said, well, I'm still writing a list. And he wrote, I said, well, just send me what you have. And by the time he sent me what he had, he said, I got a couple more names I need to add to your list. I said, just send me, you know, just send me the updates. Send me the updates. I thought of all the names of Jesus and all that. And you know, those names tell us about who he is. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's my strength. He's my help. He's the rock. He's all the things. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. The Lord is the branch, our righteousness. The Lord is all of those things. It's about who he is to us. And when we talk about that, we're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're honoring him. We're saying, this is who Jesus is to me. He is my all in all. He's my everything. Jesus is the one who reached down where I was and had the love to reach that deep to get me out of the state that I was in. And he didn't try to do that. He spoke life. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And those who've been made alive now are to use that life to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And who is he talking to? He's talking to all ye lands. He said, Psalm 107, he says, so whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, he says, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. You know who's hungry and thirsty? Not the dead, the living. Those that are born again of the Spirit. He says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And here's what he did. He's our deliverer. He delivered them out of their trespasses. And then he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. I believe our little church is a city of habitation. I believe it's a place we can dwell. I believe a place we can come into out of the storms of life. I believe it's a special place to the Lord. It's a house that the Lord has built. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's a place where he's placed his ordinances. It's a place that he's designed for the light to shine forth out into this world. This church is set up as a city on a hill, a light that is not to be hid. We're not to put it under a bushel. We're not a secret organization. We're not a secret society. As a matter of fact, our duty and our responsibility is to share the gospel. We're to preach it. We're to teach it. We're to live it before men. We should let our light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And if we failed on any degree, in any way, I believe that's a one. And we haven't shared this enough. We haven't shared it enough. Now, what would be enough? When would we, if we ever get to say, well, I think we're enough now, well, we got a really problem then. If we ever get to saying, I think we got all that covered. As a matter of fact, anything you have in your life that you're looking at from the light of God's Word, and you think, well, I've got this pride thing taken care of. Sounds like you're proud of it, doesn't it? I've got this love thing. I think I've loved enough now. I've got that taken care of. Is there anything when we're living in this world that will... When will we be finished with that warfare, the fighting, the good fight of faith? You know when we'll be finished? When the Lord says, come on home. Or the Lord comes again and we meet him in the air. And then we'll have, every one of us, an old vile body. That's what we'll still have, this old vile body. You and I having to carry this old vile body around. You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God, which means I got this old dead man that I'm carrying around that I'm going to have to keep under subjection, that I'm going to have to keep thinking the right way, that when I get impatient, I'm going to have to remind to be patient, and to keep it under subjection. When I want to say something I shouldn't say, I'm going to have to keep that old tongue under subjection when I start rising up in anger. You let that anger get in you. Where does that come from? It comes out of the old man. That's what he comes from. And we're to put off the old man with his deeds. Put on the new man. That's to keep our bodies into subjection. But there's a day coming when this old body, not another body, not somebody else's body, is going to be, that which is sown in corruption is going to be raised in incorruption. That which is sown mortal is going to be raised immortal. That which is sown natural is going to be raised spiritual. That which, and this is a wonderful thing about that body. It's going to be spiritual, but it's going to be flesh and bone. You say, how could that be? I don't know. I just know that's what the Bible teaches. Because Jesus, at his resurrection, in his glorified body, said to his disciples, "Handle me and see that I am flesh and bone." And we're going to be made like unto him. Which says to me, we'll be spiritual, but we'll also be flesh and bone. It'll be spiritual flesh and bone. It'll be, we're like him. What does it mean to be like him? It means we're without sin. We no longer will have that warfare. We'll no longer have to fight that good fight. But as long as you and I are in this world, you and I need to fight the good fight of faith. And that is to follow after him. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's all of his children. He says to serve the Lord with gladness. What is that joyful noise? I love to think about what the Apostle Paul wrote in that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says here in talking about the gospel, he says, moreover, brethren, in verse 1, he says, I declare unto you the gospel. That's the good news. That's a joyful sound. And when we declare the gospel, we are speaking to God's little children about the good news of what Jesus did. But we're really making that joyful noise unto the Lord, are we not? We're really speaking about the Lord. We're giving him the praise and the honor and the glory. Anytime we're sharing the truth, we're not honoring ourselves. We're honoring the God of heaven because the gospel is about him and what he has done. He tells us what the gospel here is in this passage. If you want to just get a clear view of what the gospel is, you can just turn right over here to 1 Corinthians 15 and you'll read what the gospel is right here. And it's so plain and clear, and yet it's so complete. And you know, that's what the Lord does. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. He says there's a salvation in this gospel. He says, by which also you are saved. And some believe that means that's how you get to be with him in heaven. That's how you get to be safe in heaven, is by hearing the gospel, by embracing the gospel. But the reality is, unless the Lord has worked a work in your heart, you can't see or hear or understand the gospel. The gospel will not be of good news to you. It won't be any benefit to you, because the dead do not profit from the message. It's only the living that profit from the message. And the dead have to be made alive first. And the way the dead are made alive is they hear the voice of the Son of God saying to them, live, and they that hear shall live. They are made alive. And then the gospel comes. Not to bring you life, because you already have life. We don't go out in the world and share the gospel in order to make children of God, because God does that by the power of the Holy Spirit. But he has told us to go preach the gospel, and we're to preach the gospel to God's little children. Somebody said, well, I don't know then who to speak to. I don't know who's a little child of God. Who do I talk to? Then that sounds like to me, we're to do what? We're to go preach. Sometimes the gospel will fall on ground that is not productive. Sometimes the good news will be scattered. And when the non-elect, those that are not God's children, the non-elect, if you will, when they They don't hear the gospel. Maybe with a natural ear they hear it, but there's no heart to understand it. There's no ear to hear it. There's no eye to see it. And they not only don't appreciate it, they despise it. As a matter of fact, they'll do everything they can to stop it from being preached. Don't we see already in our world the effects of that? That men in high places that have that mindset about the gospel would do anything to keep it from even being declared. I say to you, if it was not for God's overruling grace, we wouldn't have a little body of believers here that would. We wouldn't have these freedoms. We have them not. I know there's blessings for what men have done, but I'm telling you, we wouldn't have the freedom that we have in the United States of America if it was not for the grace of Almighty God. If it's a gift, then every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It didn't come from up. It didn't come from us. It came from Him. And it cometh down. It's from above, that means it's up there, and it cometh down from the Father of lights. That's not me, that's not you, that's the God of heaven, in whom there is no variableness. He does not change, nor shadow, not even a shadow of turning in Him. What man do you know that's like Him? None. Men will change in a moment. Men will say, I'm never going to change, and then say it again and say it again, and next thing you know, they may lose their mind and not even know what they said. But our God's not like that. And we have a joyful noise to make. He goes over here in 1 Corinthians and he says, by which you are saved. So how are we saved? It says, if you keep in memory, then the salvation is where in my heart I'm at peace. It's what a little 8-year-old boy or later on in life, it's what I would have loved to had early on in life. But in my early 20s, I was able and blessed to hear the sound of the message of grace, and this grace delivered me. It didn't save me for heaven and immortal glory. I was in a sense, I was secure in the election that took place before the foundation of the world. Don't you believe that every one of God's children that He chose in covenant before the foundation of the world are safe and secure in that work, in that alone? I believe it. Because it's no doubt that everyone that He foreknew will be predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And again, it's all ye lambs, it's many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. The gospel doesn't call them. He calls them. He calls them by His grace and by His power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And those whom He called, them He also justified. And those whom He justified, them He also glorified. And as you've heard many brethren say, and I've made an effort to say it many times, everyone who's included in the foreknowledge is included in the predestination, is included in the calling, is included in the justification. That's when the sin debt was paid. It is included in the finality of it all, when our body will be made in fashion like to Him, and we'll be body, soul, and spirit with the Lord. Glorified. He says, back over 1 Corinthians 15, he says, by which also ye are saved, did you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain? He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So Christ died for our sins. If we take that statement and that alone, that tells us how our sins were paid for. Christ died. What did He die for? Everybody's sins? No, He died for our sins. Who's the our? That's His chosen people. That's His people that He foreknew. That's His people that he loved. That's his people that he made choice of. That's his people that are identified in the person of Jacob in Romans chapter 9 when he says, "And Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." We see that there were those that God made choice of. And it wasn't based on any good works. For the two children being in the womb had not yet done any good nor evil. But that the purpose of God according to election might stand, it is written, "The elder shall serve the younger, and Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Somebody said that even the Bible, the writer says, is there run righteousness with God? You know, somebody said, well, that would make God unrighteous. That's what they said in the Bible. He said, God forbid. He'll have mercy on whom he have mercy, and whom he will harden. Do you believe in that kind of God, that big a God? I do. That's the God of the Bible. That's what the Bible teaches. And he says, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And that's a salvation that comes in the gospel that comes to a little child of God when they rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the only way, then the only, and that salvation is by grace and grace alone, you're enjoying that deliverance. Because you have rest and peace in your heart about what he has done for you. And it's not anything you can add to that or take from that. He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That verse tells me that Christ died and he died for our sins. And the sins have been paid for. He bought us. He bought us and he saved us and he delivered us from our sins. He died for our sins. And that is according to the scriptures. That is that what the Bible was saying to us that he would do. He has come and he's done that and he's finished it. And he's seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us in heaven. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, why was it important that he would be buried and rise again? Because we were going to need a bodily resurrection. And he took in his own body our sins, and he went to the grave, and he came forth from the grave victorious. If he had not paid for our sins, if he had not done the work of the Father, he would have never come out of the grave. But he came out of the grave to show that the work was finished, and now he's seated on the right hand of the Father. Seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And he was seen of the Cephas and then of the 12. And after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. Back over to Psalm 100. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. I hope we're here today not out of force, not because it's a requirement. I hope it's not just duty that brings us here, but I pray that it's the Lord of heaven who has led us and directed us. It says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Come before his presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. That's real clear, isn't it? We didn't make ourselves. He made us. He is God. He's the one who made the heavens and the earth. He's also the one who made us. He made us naturally. But if we're spiritual creatures today, we're new creatures, he made us spiritually. We couldn't born ourselves naturally. We couldn't born again ourselves spiritually. It took the work of Almighty God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We're to be thankful unto him and bless his name. So good to be able to be here today to do that. To enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him. And to bless his name means to praise his name. For the Lord is good. I'm so thankful this powerful God's a good God, don't you? I'm thankful. I know He's been so good to me. I know we could just go on and on about that. His mercy is everlasting. I'm thankful He doesn't run out of mercy. And His truth endures to all generations. This truth of what the Lord did for His people, it sounds as good today to me as it did 40 some years ago. As a matter of fact, it seems like the last meeting, the last time I heard it, even sounds, it just gets sweeter and sweeter as the time goes by. His truth endureth to all generations. The same truth won't need to be updated, doesn't need to be changed. As a matter of fact, if we leave it, we've departed from the truth. May the Lord help us to be faithful, just to continue to declare salvation by the wonderful grace of God and by what Jesus has done for us at Calvary. It'll give peace in the hearts of God's little children, and it'll cause us to want to live better and act better to glorify and honor His name. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Appreciate your attention this afternoon.